Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and joining us today for part two of Intuition and Spirituality in Movies and Television is my very special guest, Hollywood actress Dee Wallace, author of Conscious Creator and her newest book, Bright Light. Dee is known for many films and TV performances, and most especially the epic movie E.T. Hello, Dee, and I'm so delighted to have you back here for part two of our very special conversation together. We're going to pick up, Dee, where we left off in part one, sharing your journey and all the knowledge you've gathered about the creative process. And Dee, we're going to go to your role of Mary in E.T., and I know in the book you say it was not only a great gift, but also your greatest setback. And since my daughter was in that field, I understand a great deal about the creative process and personally how other people in the business can knowingly or unknowingly affect you. So would you want to tell us something about that? I mean, I remember that role. I can see it playing. I can see you playing in my head even now, and it's almost 27, 28 years ago. It had such an effect on so many
people. Well, yeah, it had such an impact on everyone because it was the truth.
Yeah. What was one of the major spiritual themes in that movie? It was a very spiritual movie.
Absolutely. It's all about getting back to the home of who you are.
Yes, home.
Knowing that
home.
You can, holding the intention, doing whatever it takes, but you can't get back home. You see, they couldn't find him if he turned his heart light down.
Mm-hmm. You know,
so it's by no mistake that I did, you know, did E.T. and then bright light, you know, 30 years later.
Preparation. But you know what? It was all preparation. E.T. kept saying during the movie, home, and he longed for another place he knew. And some people think of that dimension or heaven or that energy field as our real home and say that this earth is preparation for our soul to refine itself so it can exist in higher energy. Would you think so?
I think that home is anywhere that you are, as long as you know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe. And Earth challenges you the most to remember that and be the self-creation of that. But if you're waiting for anybody or anything outside of yourself to give you permission to be free or to be freedom, to be happy, to know that you are perfect health. If you're looking for anything or anybody outside of yourself, you're looking in the wrong place because the home of your knowing, the home of your being is within you.
You remind me right now that I once said to a friend when I was disagreeing with something that they were doing because I intuitively knew it was very harmful for them, I wanted to remind them of how special I thought they were. So I said, I thought you were home, right? Because he wasn't acting quite lovingly enough. So I guess I meant, I didn't really understand it at the time I said it. I guess what I might have meant is where there's trust and love. And no matter what happens, it will be accepted when one truly cares about the feelings of another and intuitively knows what is right for them and for the other person and for their safety and a connection. Wherever there's a connection between people, they know themselves and then they connect with another.
Right. See, that's the most
important
thing.
Perhaps that's home.
You have to connect with yourself first.
Yeah.
And most of us are entirely disconnected because we're looking for other people to create us and make us. I can't be happy without the money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I won't know that I am, health, until the disease goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to focus on the health. You have to know the health. You have to celebrate the health if you're going to create the health. You cannot focus on getting rid of the disease to create health. It's an oxymoron because your whole focus is held on the disease.
Sometimes perhaps the disease is there just so you can learn to use the energy and focus on the positive aspect of what you need at the moment, and you can dispel the disease with your thoughts and with proper feelings of goodness in your heart, and you can let go of those layers of anger or frustration or fear which may be presenting itself in the way of a physical illness.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
because when you're out of harmony with yourself, your whole body senses that. When you're in joy, every cell is in joy.
Mm-hmm.
So just think of every cell of your body as a direct mirror and magnification of how you're feeling and how you're thinking and how you are expressing yourself in this world. Your body is just a mirror of that.
Yes.
So if there's any what we call disease, ask yourself what your body is trying to tell you and teach you.
Yes. And that's how you can create the change.
Once you get the lesson, you don't need it anymore.
Yeah, if it's in your best interest, because some people do retain an illness or a situation for a long time until they work through it and come to the understanding that they don't need it anymore. If they choose to be a victim, they are making that choice, and until they choose another way to go, it will not dissipate. So, you know, Dee, every relationship, we're talking about this now, with every person in our life, seems to help us to know ourselves better, to love ourselves more, to care for our reason for being on this physical planet, and to then hopefully find more joy in walking our walk. So can you tell us about your daughter and how she has helped you understand yourself, and what is the relationship between a mother and a daughter?
Well, I can only talk to the relationship between this mother and her daughter,
mm-hmm.
which is challenging. And like I said before, she is definitely my soulmate in this life. We look alike. We sound alike. She's very talented. She's starting her acting career this year. I think the biggest lesson I learned with Gabrielle is not to give myself up, because for years that's what I did. I gave myself up for her. And it didn't serve her and it didn't serve me. And I think that that's the message a lot of us share, is that when you love someone, you have to give yourself up for them and deny yourself. And that is just absolutely not true, because what happens then is you end up enabling them and you end up in resentment.
You know, I want to say something here, because when my daughter was professionally acting, many times people would ask me if I was an actress, and I just wanted to put myself to the side, and I think I might have dimmed my light a little bit because I wanted her to have the opportunity to shine. And now that you just said that, I did exactly the same thing for, I would say, almost 10 years. And then she went away to college, and my focus went in other directions. I never gave up my power. I was always a dynamic person in many areas, but I did take a step back very often because I didn't want to be seen that way as any type of competition. I'm not very competitive, and people were sort of drawing a competitive line between us. So,
well, and I think people come forward to do things like that so that we can get in touch with the fact that they are mirroring a part of us that we're holding.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we could have been aware that those people were coming forward going, oh, are you in competition? Are you in an actress? If we could have been aware that within us that was a fear of ours.
Yes, it was a fear. Mm-hmm.
Right. We could have become conscious of that, brought it back into balance, And God, no, I'm not in competition with her. I'm just creating me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's what somebody said, oh, it must be hard to be your daughter, Dee. And I said, I don't know why. She's beautiful. She's talented. She's smart. She will create herself. If anything, I have given her a role model to say, look how strong and joyful and balanced a woman can be.
I understand exactly, because I have had such a similar experience with my own daughter. And thank you for explaining it the way you do. I see it in a different way right now.
Okay.
Dee, in the movie E.T., you played a single mom raising your children. You didn't even have a child at that time, did you?
No, I didn't.
But in your own life, you have raised your daughter since the passing of your husband. How old was she at the time?
It was about 3 weeks before her 7th birthday.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you a very sensitive question here, because it happened to me with my daughter also. Do you think that life imitates art, or does art imitate life? It's been a question I've been mulling over in my head for quite a long time.
I think it's one and the same.
Okay.
I do. I think Michelangelo painted the experience of his life, and the experience of life that he had created the painting. I don't think you can separate it. When I act, the only instrument that that character can come through is me. The only emotions that can come through me are emotions that I know.
Mm-hmm.
The understanding that I have from living my life goes into every character that I portray. And other lives also. I mean, I was never a mother before I played the mother in E.T. and several
mm-hmm.
other mothers, I might add. I wasn't a mother when I did Cujo.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew cellularly what it was like to be a mother. And, you know, I used to joke with people that would interview me going, how do you play a mother so well? You're not a mother. I said, no, but I had one.
Oh.
You know? I had a role model to watch.
That's the best answer.
Yeah.
That's the best answer. You had one. You saw. You lived. You had aunts. You had other relatives. You had people, friends. You know, of course, you can draw on the experience even without it. But I want to tell a little story here. When my daughter Stacy was on Search for Tomorrow, she played the character of Wendy, and they made a part for her. She became diabetic. And when she collapsed and she had to be in a hospital in one scene, and I sat there and observed it, and I knew it was only acting,
mm-hmm.
and I was bordering on crying.
Sure.
It was so difficult for me to watch. And then later, years later, my own son, Greg, at the age of 22, developed type 1 diabetes, the same type 1 that she was playing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When she acted that part, many, many people wrote in letters, and a lot of research went on as a result of her playing that role, and a lot of good, I think, was done. And I kind of think maybe it was also the divine energy preparing me for what I was going to have to see and what my son was going to have to deal with. Just maybe. I don't know. At the time, I just know how I felt watching her. And that's how every parent feels when their children are in any danger or sense of,
of course,
you know,
and
of something that we can't control. But, of course, we can't control any of it, can we?
Well, you can always control your reaction to anything.
Yes.
And that's where your creation comes in,
mm-hmm.
right? Because what you create out of anything is as much a part of creation as, you know, the initial creation from nothing. It's all, again, the response and the direction of energy that you want to use. And any actor will tell you that when they're going through an emotional scene, like in Cujo, my body didn't know I was acting. Your body goes through every chemical reaction and change that you actually go through during fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
So I was treated for exhaustion at the end of Cujo because my body...
I remember reading that, yes.
Yeah, just... yeah, there's a lot of great acting stories in Bright Light, by the way. It, you know, the book stands on its own just to read about all the great directors, Spielberg and Peter Jackson and Blake Edwards and all those wonderful people that I've gotten to work with. But through it also are these amazing spiritual enlightenments, I call them. It's probably that, but it was too long to put on the cover.
Well, I'm going to say this, Dee, knowing from my own journey and from reading about your childhood, I think you were probably a very sensitive child, very in tune to people's feelings and
and
emotions. And I would think you were aware of some connection to higher energy, call it angels, loved ones, relatives, or you may have not seen them, but you may have sensed the energy dancing around you at night when you were going to sleep. I know I did. And it didn't, I didn't become involved in this work until about 12 years ago. And I've come such a long way in such a short time. So is that true? Were you that way as a child?
I was always very intuitive and used to hear voices, you know, and communicate with them. And
I was going to ask you that. Are you clairaudient? Or?
Yes, I'm really clairaudient now. You know, ever since, and I talk about the night that I dropped to my knees and rolling at God and said, I don't want to be this way. I don't want to be angry. I want my light back, and I want a way we can heal ourselves. Those were the key words. And literally the next day, the information started coming in.
You asked for help.
I asked. I never understood the enormity of ask and you receive. Right.
But we're getting that now. Okay.
Until I did and I got it. But, of course I had to be sensitive when I was little. You know, my dad was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I had to take care of my little brother and my mom just about every night of my life. Mm-hmm. I was an actress. I started out, even when I was very small, acting in local things. And so, yeah, I think I was always very intuitive.
You were probably born with a heightened awareness and sensitivity to energy even at that time. And sometimes not even the conditions are creating that. You were born with a destiny to use it, to learn about it, to write about it, to use it in your acting. I kind of think that's the way it was. And Dee, I am aware that you had a reading with medium John Edward when he was the host of Crossing Over. I got into this work also because of John Edward, because I had a spiritual visitation from my grandfather, it must be 18, 19 years ago, and he said to me, you have to write something for your father. And I thought it was just a dream. And the next day, my dad died, and I wrote his eulogy.
Wow.
So it was 6 years later when I was directed to read John Edwards' book, because I didn't understand anything about afterlife or mediumship or energy. I mean, I was always probably listening to the messages and guidance from spirit and following, but I always thought it was my own good training and education, and I wasn't aware it was a voice from spirit. So when I read John Edwards' book and he described that incident that I had experienced as a spiritual visitation, it set me out on a journey of discovering how one communicates with spirit. And that's why we're here today. Our journey is learning about how we can be here in the physical world and how we can still connect to the energy of many dimensions of divine life beyond this place. And it's kind of funny, you were in that movie, E.T., talking about just that almost 30 years ago, and now we both understand it so much better. So
I think, you know, it's really important to make the point that your voice is the voice. That's, you know, we so want to hold on to this idea of separation. There isn't any. Science and spirituality all agree there's one energy. That's all there is energy. So any illusion of separation we have created through our belief system. And what I tell my followers, my clients, is, you know, the rule that supersedes everything is as you believe, it will be delivered unto you.
Yeah.
So, you know, if your life isn't showing up the way you want it to show up, stop, get quiet, and go, what do I believe around this? What are my beliefs? What are the things that I've bought from other people, from society, from my own limitations, because there is nothing that is not possible for us. Nothing.
Yeah. You know, as a kid, I used to be tremendously interested in science fiction, and I just knew that we could do anything that the mind could create. Maybe it wouldn't happen immediately. It would take time and working and going forward in trying to produce it. But I knew that was possible. And, you know, since all this, I've become aware of energy and spirituality and dimensions beyond here. I also believe spirituality and science are one and the same thing. As you started off saying at the beginning when you said about one of the ancient artists, and his belief system, that it was one of the same. And I also believe, actually, that there will eventually be one divine religion, because we're all one, of one energy, and one divine place we come from. Our DNA is all from the same energy. And I think that's the direction we are headed. And I would say people that are working with these thoughts and writing and learning and teaching at the same time are the vanguards of the world to come, and the energy and the children. We're helping the children who are being born now with many spiritual gifts to hold on to it so they can proceed without as many fears and limitations perhaps as we had, because it was a different time. And we're now in sort of a new spiritual evolution. And I think you and I are workers towards that end. And I want to get back to the movies again for a minute. At the present time, Dee, there are so many mainstream movies, and they're addressing spiritual laws concerning an afterlife and also life as a dual reality of both soul energy and physical presence. And I just, not too long ago, the first night it came out, I went to see Hereafter with Matt Damon. And did you see it?
Uh-huh.
And then shortly after, they had The Adjustment Bureau, also with Matt Damon, and also Avatar. Have you seen those movies?
Oh, sure. Seen them all.
Okay. Now, why, you know, as an intuitive healer and medium, I believe those movies hit on some of the major themes that we're trying to understand about life and our soul presence in a very graphic yet simplified way, so people can begin to realize that life after death and the oneness of our being or shared energy is not just a magical concept but a law of physics.
Right.
Have you seen a change in the way people in the industry are talking or viewing some of these?
Oh, you have a lot of very spiritual people in our industry.
I know.
A lot of enlightened consciousness. And, you know, artists, whether they're physical artists or actors or writers or directors or musicians, artists have always been some of the first people to start receiving the information and bring it out through their artistic creations. And that a really good example in all these movies. People are starting to download the information, okay, about the fact that the sword and the struggle aren't the answer anymore. That's not what creation's about. The doing isn't about what creation's about. The being is what creation is about. And that our love is the highest source of creation that we have available to us. And you can say the light, it's the same thing. Our light and our love, that is our power. And those are the messages, you know, from a lot of these movies.
Yeah, but even as long ago, I mean, even as long ago as maybe 20 years ago, people were not so free to discuss what you and I are discussing here today for fear of being thought of, oh, those woo-woo people, those, you know, fairy children, those, you know what I'm saying. And also, like Shirley MacLaine, oh, so many years ago, talked about her spiritual journey. And yes, I know there has always been an understanding, but it seems to be more mainstream right now than ever before. Do you have any understanding of why?
Well, sure. We're getting ready to go into 2012. And the whole, concept of the new earth.
Yes.
And so people are having to step up. The new kids, see, the new babies that are being born, they're coming in to teach us. We're not going to teach them anything.
Absolutely.
And they're coming in and going, you don't need all these rules and regulations. You know, we need to be free. We need to be joyous. We need to be able to move. We need to love ourselves. We need to express, right? And so the first wave, unfortunately, that came in to teach us all this, that here's a pill called Ritalin, shut it off.
Yeah, no, I'm
you
so
know?
Against that. I was a teacher, and I have seen too much medication for these children. No, they don't need that. They just need parents who will come and hold them and love them and allow them to be who they were born to be without judgment.
And a school system that needs to be revised.
Yes.
It's ancient.
Mm-hmm.
We're not meant, we were never meant to sit down at a desk and not move when we're 6 years old. It's not even a part of nature.
Well, if we want to take something ancient to work with the children, we might just take yoga, which is an ancient technique from the Greeks and Romans, and which can help people feel their energy and the children feel their energy and be healthy and be freer and bring that into the school systems. I tried when I was teaching in a special needs class and in a school with many, many disabled children to get the principal to understand that might be a way to bring innovation and change that's so necessary now. So thank you very much for saying that. That was very, very important. And Dee, what are you looking forward to experiencing next?
Oh, gosh, everything.
That's
everything
a big
that I love
question.
To do. You know, I'm on my way to an audition for NCIS right now. I just got back from an amazing tour in Portland and New Hampshire with Dolores Cannon, who is one of the top past life regressionists in the world. And I'm going to Sedona with her. I'm speaking for Jeffrey Hoppe in Santa Fe. Of course, you know, he is the leading channel of St. Germain and Adamus and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Tobias. And I've almost finished my fourth book, which I'm happy to say already have a publisher. And I'm, you know, doing tons and tons and tons of press for Bright Light. I know the importance of this book, and I know the energy and the intention that it was created with, which was to open people's hearts to their own empowerment again.
Absolutely. I'm going to say that question that I just asked you. You don't have to look forward to experience. You are experiencing at every moment, and so hopefully am I, in what we're doing and enjoying and loving. It's really not so important, the project, the book. It's in who we're becoming and who we already are.
Yes, it's
and
the,
knowing.
The process of creation. Just keep yourself creating yourself, and you will be happy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dee, for sharing your remarkable experiences and your insights into both your acting and spiritual journey. And for more information on Dee Wallace and her new book, Bright Light, go to www.imdwallace.com.
That's my website. You can find everything, my talk shows, direct links to them.
Fix that. imdwallace.com.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, okay. Very excellent. Now, in summarizing today's episode, Intuition and Spirituality in Movies and Television, Dee Wallace and I have explored how it is possible to create the life we want by utilizing the law of attraction and other spiritual laws to find our true passions, our life plan, to love ourselves wholly and fully, and then to live an authentic life. So facing challenges in the home and the workplace and living with loss and change can help us strive for inner strength and courage by seeking to be extraordinary and by being conscientious citizens who utilize our soul and divine potential or light. We adhere to our own values and standards, and we don't accept other people's expectations of what is right or best for us, and this does lead to greater respect for ourselves and others. I believe Dee Wallace and I try to value all the experiences and people who have entered our lives and view them as mirrors, allowing us to further explore our own divine essence and connection to universal energy. And the body of work, both in Dee's films and in her writing and in her healing work, are symbols to me of a life well lived. And Dee Wallace has not only talked the talk, but walked the walk. And I am so happy to have shared this time together, exploring how all of us can move through our past, any and all complicated situations, and still remain standing in the light of our most loving intentions and actions. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within. And for more information on energy healing, psychic, and communication with spirit, and to learn more about my book, Life is No Coincidence, go to my website, www.cherylglick.com. Please join us again on webtalkradio.net to hear the leaders in the field of healing and spirituality share their amazing stories of transformation.